You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to episode 190 of the Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me for today's record is another Cinema Geek, Movie Revolt Dan. Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Not too bad, and I feel like you might as well have like a resident Cinema Geek title, but Matt from Simplistic Reviews is back. Hello.
I need no titles. I need no lands. I need nothing from you except your my adoring public listening to another stupid list I'm about to give to you guys. So it's perfect.
Speaking of lists, that is what we are doing today. We're going to continue our series of talking about the best movies of last decade. Why? Because it's hard to watch movies this year. I'm so far behind, I don't think I'll even have a top 10 list this year because I think I've seen like 30 movies, maybe at the most, but and most of them aren't good. So we're going to be looking back at the last decade. This time, we're going to be doing it all about action films. So we've done science fiction, we've done comedy, we've done animated. We're doing action this time. So Dan, to start us off, how was it coming up with your action list?
Well, I think we were talking a little bit before we started that I do feel like my list is going to be a little bit boring because I, you know. When doing this, obviously, since we did a comic book list, I didn't include any superhero films or anything that I included on that. So it really, you know, considering that is probably the biggest action film franchise. And I do feel like it's a bit obvious for the most part, but I maybe have a few different ones I threw in just for fun. But I do really like every movie I have. And the other part is maybe I cheated a little bit and maybe took something that's not pure action, but similar to comedy, when I was looking for the best comedy, I looked at like something that's pure comedy, not something that's drama with comedy in it. And same thing happened here where there are a lot of those movies, which is like, I'm thinking of a movie like Hannah, for example, which has good action, but I wouldn't necessarily consider it an action film per se. So I was looking for mostly that, you know, those action movies. I remember there was that movie channel, I forget what was it, Spike TV or something like that, which
did
like,
that, yeah.
Yeah, men for movies for guys who like movies.
Exactly. So like if would it be on that, it was kind of my borderline, my measuring stick of would it be on this list. Not that all action movies have to be guy movies, but in the most part that's typically the audience they're going for. So
yeah, I had I did similar things. I eliminated all the superhero or comic book films that we've already talked about, tried to eliminate anything that was crossed over into the science fiction realm or things of that nature. And I did come across the realization as I was looking, because I looked at a lot of different lists that people had out there, you know, a lot of the major websites or geek outlets that did their different lists and stuff like that. And I feel like action is one of my genres that I just don't see as much. Maybe I don't gravitate towards it as much as I do other genres, so I feel like there's a lot more blind spots for me when it comes to this list, so it made the narrowing down process pretty darn easy. I think I had a list of about 30 the first time I went through it, and coming up with the 10 was fairly easy from that point on. So it was a little bit easier to come up with this list for me than others. Matt, how was doing you're doing something special with your list a little bit, so let us know what that is and kind of how was it coming up with that.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we did. I think it was for either the superhero list or one of the previous lists that DJ and I, DJ, of course, the brains behind the operation of Simplistic Reviews. we combine our list, but luckily with action, we both kind of share a brain when it comes to most action films. So coming up with our combined list was reasonably easy. We had about 7 movies that crossed over between our top 10. He gave me a pure top 10. I made about a top 20 or so. Him and I both also kind of came to the agreement where we're not going to be including, spoiler alert for the rest of this podcast, we didn't think of anything sci-fi, really, anything superhero related, anything that was kind of like fantastical, really, to be honest. I mean, some of these movies will be thought of as fantastical, I'm sure. So we wanted to go with a pure action, unadulterated kind of meathead list a little bit. But I also tried to throw a little flair in there for things I kind of dug and, you know, enjoyed. But I think my list, or our list combined, is definitely action with hints of comedy here and there, but yeah, mostly this is a kind of balls to the wall action list. And it may not all be that very creative compared to what other lists are going to be, but you know, it's to make like a great, great action film. I think we took the elements that we like the most. And I think most people will agree with this, or they won't. They'll be like, these guys are idiots. Well, we are, so it's fine.
We'd have it no other way. All yeah. right. So speaking of which, and we'll have a chance to talk about some honorable mentions and things of that nature towards the end, as well as maybe what some of the biggest action stars are of the last decade and things of that nature. You know, we think about back in the 80s, like Arnold and, or even the, you know, oh God, Jean-Claude Van Damme and you know, people like that. So who were the action stars of the 2010s? We might get into that real quickly in the closing, but let's get right into the list. Waste no more time. Matt, let's start us off with your guys' number 10 action film of the last decade.
Oh boy. Okay. So this is one that made my list in kind of at the last minute. This didn't make DJ's list, but I felt it was appropriate to kind of include it because on the last couple podcasts, or we kind of talked about this film a little bit, or we talked about it off air, and we thought this film kind of, I think, has aged better than most people probably give it credit for. And it's also going all the way back to the beginning of the decade. So this is something all the way back from 2010. So it's probably something a lot of people forgot about as well. So my number 10 is from 2010, and it's going to be the Joe Carnahan adaptation of the TV show The A-Team.
Okay.
This is a stupid, idiotic action film, but it's it's got a lot of hearts. It's very funny. I think Charlotte Copley steals this film in so many different ways. I found myself laughing at everything he kind of said. And if you are a fan of like just the A-Team TV show, which I didn't grow up with it, so I don't know much about it except that it's, you know, soldiers of fortune protecting the innocent type thing. But it's got a great cast. I mean, like I said, Charlotte Copley. It's got Bradley Cooper. It's got Liam Neeson. It's got Quentin Rampage Jackson. It's got Jessica Biel. It's got Patrick Wilson. It's got a ton of different people in it. And it's directed by Joe Carnahan, who I also don't think really gets enough respect. I mean, he did Smokin' Aces, which I thought was a big, stupid, fun hitman film back in the, the 2000s. And then he did Narc, which I think is an underrated cop film. But A-Team is fun. It's got tanks firing at drones after a plane gets blown up. It's got crazy helicopter action. It's got everything in it that's very kind of heartfelt at the same time, but it's also big and stupid and dumb. But I think it's a film that just kind of it was kind of beaten in the face back in 2010, where everybody was like, oh, another stupid remake. But this, go back if you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. It's a pretty hella fun film, to be honest. So that's making my top 10 list, not number 10.
I like it. I have like 25 films that I kind of finally crafted my list and my honorable mentions type thing. And you said 2010, and I was scanning my list and I don't have any films from 2010. So I was like, well, this is about to be a surprise. So I remember seeing A-Team and enjoying it. It's one that I haven't revisited though. So I can't, I'd be talking about like 10 years ago and what my opinions were, and I don't remember them real great. I don't remember disliking it. So I remember having fun with it, but I would definitely need to have a rewatch of that one. Dan, do you remember the A-Team?
The one scene I remember that sticks out in my mind is when they're like falling from the sky with the tank.
Yeah.
And like to save themselves, they just start like shooting, like they're having the tank shoot in order to like propel it, like to slow itself from going down. I'm like, this is clearly like a movie that knows exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. All right, for my number 10, I actually didn't have this on my list going into today, but I just made an audible right before the record, so I'm gonna throw this one in just because I had so much fun with it. I do need to rewatch this one as well to kind of really get super opinions and be able to tell you about like scenes and moments that I liked. I'm not gonna be able to do that too much because I've only seen it the one time, but I'm going with a 2016 film, and that is the one directed by Ben Wheatley, and it is called Free Fire. I guess the reason I decided to put this in at number 10 was because like this almost defines for me what I look for in an action film, like a decent amount of comedy and something that's not going to take itself too serious, but overall is filled with action. And you can't make the argument that this one is not filled with action because there is so much gunfire in this film. I don't know if it holds the record. I don't know what the record is, but there is a whole lot of gunfire and nonsense in this film. And I guess it piggybacks off of Matt because Charlton Copley's in this one as well. With Armie Hammer, Brie Larson, Cillian Murphy, etc. So it was off the wall bonkers. So I could see like why some people might not gravitate towards it, but I feel like when you're doing an action film list, you can't really be concerned about physics and logic, and some of those things have to be like put in the back seat, as you'll see from some of my other mentions that come up later on in the list. But I don't know, I just had a lot of fun. Free Fire, I know it has like a 69 or right around the 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it got decent reviews, but I never heard too many people talk about it when it came out or since then. But I feel like it's worthy of any action fans, a watch for any action fan. You give this one chance at least. So Free Fire is my number 10. Matt, go ahead.
I like that one. I like Ben with it. I like Kill List as well too. I know it's not really an action film, but a really good horror film that he did.
Nice.
But I mean, when you talk about like 69, like on Rotten Tomatoes, I think A-Team has like 49. So it's like, Half the people hate it, the other half love it or something.
Right,
it
right.
Kind of gets lost in the translation of like, oh, I saw that once.
Dan, can you complete three in a row for Charlton Copley, or do you have some? Are we going somewhere else with your number 10?
Fortunately, I can't. Maybe I should do that. Oh, what is that? I didn't include it, but the first person. I can't think of the name.
Was
of
that,
it,
that he Hardcore was... Harry?
Yeah. Which is actually pretty. It's that it's a little stomach inducing, but it's actually pretty impressive in some of the stuff they pull off in that. But no, I guess I'm going with something that could be considered a bit of a guilty pleasure. It's more like an old school action film in a way, directed by, I think it's Tony Scott's last movie before he unfortunately passed away, and that's Unstoppable, which is basically Speed on a Train. It's, you know, old in the sense of, you know, it's, there's not much CGI. When you go back and I think watch it, what's really impressive, why I kind of included it, was some of the stunts they were doing with helicopters in this, like low chasing helicopters that are really doing these like intense stunts next to a speeding train, like going in and out of different obstacles, which was pretty impressive for this movie. And I think it's just like, again, going back to those cheesy after Saturday afternoon movies that you'll just, you know, put on and enjoy that are kind of mindless. This to me fits that build. It's pretty, you know, it's admittedly pretty stupid. I mean, it's based on a true story, but it's clearly like over dramatized and, you know, it's not like, it only has one direction to go. Right. So you kind of know what's going to happen. But I just thought it was thrilling, well done, and just, and it, I kind of wanted to include something Tony Scott related. I don't know, but it just—it's one of those movies that we watched a lot, and there's probably better made films I could have included. But again, more of a just a personal bias, kind of guilty pleasure for my number 10.
I like it. I like that one. I remember enjoying that one as well. It's another one that I don't know why. Maybe a lot of these action films I don't see a second time for some reason. Even though it seems like that's a genre that you should rewatch because it's just fun, you know. Entertainment type stuff. But Matt, have you seen that one?
No, I haven't. That's I feel like that kind of came out maybe right around the same time as like the remake of like the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. So it was like Train Year or something like that, where they were like, how many different movies can we involve, like subway trains or trains or something like that?
That's awesome.
I guess there is a connection here where Tony Scott directed this and Tony Scott also helped.
It was also another 2010 movie. So
boom, there you go. Look at that. Right. See?
I like it.
The movies
like
that everybody forgets about.
Matt, what's your number 9?
All right. So this one is a little bit of I wouldn't consider a pure action, but it's a great buildup for this film. And I guess you can almost maybe kind of consider it more on the exploitation side, because that's kind of the vibe I really get from it for a lot more. But this is... almost San Jose ceremony. I'm going with a Brawl in Cell Block 99. This film is just balls to the wall. I mean, it's not balls to the wall because it has some really great action pieces kind of like near the end, but you have to get through about an hour or so of the film until you don't even get to the Cell Block 99 until like the last 20 minutes or something like that. But once Vince Vaughn's character kind of goes to prison and he's just literally... just like the Terminator in jail, basically, at this point. But it's got that really grimy, just kind of like, it feels like the jail's like oozing all over you type thing. It really kind of makes you feel kind of gross. Mm-hmm. And I like S. Craig Zahler a lot. I think he makes great kind of old school 70s feels films, from like Bone Tomahawk, this film, and then even Dragged Across Concrete. I kind of consider that too, but it didn't fit as much as the action profile as Brawl in Cell Block 99. And this is kind of dovetailing a little bit into kind of how the rest of my list is going to go, kind of, sort of. It's going to be a lot of people punching each other. So get ready for that. There's going to be a lot of punching and face going through the rest of my list. So this is just kind of the start. So people might not see this as a pure action film, but it's got some great fight choreography, and it just feels brutal and just, I don't know, it's everything I kind of wanted in a kind of cerebral, not even cerebral, but kind of like a maybe thinking man's action film a little bit.
I think it's good to have S. Craig Zahler represented, because I think a lot of his films in the last decade were pretty much filled with action, even if they weren't like all like straight action the whole time type thing. Yeah. I think they're all kind of in that realm. I heavily considered Bone Tomahawk for my list, but it's just such a disturbing watch that just on the outside. But I think it's definitely worthy. For my number 10, Dan talked about with his number 10 that he was kind of using a guilty pleasure. It's definitely a guilty pleasure for my number 9. I know I've talked about this in other lists, so people are probably tired of me championing this movie, and I know I'm in a minority because a lot of people just kind of wrote it off, but you got to find a way to get The Rock involved. And The Rock starred in this movie called Hercules in 2014. And I don't know why, but I love this film. For the Scent, Amanda, and a few of us watched this together, and everybody had a lot of fun with this one. I just like the way they kind of took on this mythological figure and just kind of showed how some of that stuff would be possible, how stories and legends could get stretched into other things. And it's just a lot of fun seeing The Rock in his element, just being Hercules. I mean, who better to be Hercules than The Rock, I guess. But I just had a lot of fun with this one. I would recommend this one to anybody who likes just dumb action films. I would attribute this to almost like, if you're a fan of, let's say, like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, like I feel like Hercules from 2014 is kind of in that realm. It's just a fun kind of adventure action film. So it's not a thinking man's action film, I will say that, but I think it's a fun action film. So Hercules, not the Kellen Lutz one, The Rock one, 2014. That's my number 9. Dan?
Oh, I forgot that movie existed, The Kellen Lutz Hercules. Oh man, that's such a bad movie.
It is.
There was a lot of bad Hercules movies in this. Yes. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And a lot of bad Kellen Lutz movies.
Why that's just still.
Did that come out the same like year as like Conan too? Because I feel like Conan and that both came. Like, I
think there was
like
Pompeii.
Crazy. Yeah, like Pompeii. There was like Pathfinder. There was Hercules. There was Conan.
Like, everyone was trying to like capture the Lord of the Rings type of, you know.
Right.
Audience. Yeah. No one quite got there.
Well, the other thing is the Kellen Lutz one came out the same year as the Rock one.
Yeah.
So you
you had a Kevin, you had a movie that's more like, you know, action fantasy, and I'm having one that's very much similar to that, and not a fantasy but more science fiction, but science fiction light, in that specific realm. I guess you could consider this science fiction, but really the science fiction is just there in order to get us big monsters fighting giant robots. You know, this is the type of the movie where that is built for the theater experience, similar to, like, you know, with A-Team, a movie that recognizes what it is and it's not afraid of it. So is this. But I think it's just really well made, and you can tell how well made it is by watching this and then the sequel back to back, to seeing what a good version is and what a mediocre version of it is when you have a director like Guillermo del Toro compared to someone that's just trying to ape that style. It's remarkable in scope, in scale, and like just the size of these monsters and creatures. There's a lot of humor to it. It's very, I think, self-referential, but it's not like poking fun in the sense of where it kind of kills the tension. Special effects are, you know, fantastic. And ultimately it's, you know, it's again, talking about, it seems to be a theme, just it's ultimately kind of fun to watch all this kind of unfold on the, it makes me kind of wish, COVID wasn't happening right now, because it's the type of movie that seeing it on the TV is not as, I think, not as memorable as seeing it in that type of experience. It's still good, but it's something that I think is best experienced when in that type of environment with the sound and things of that nature. I'm not huge into kaiju or anything like that. I know this is, you know, very much a love letter to all that. And even someone with limited experience to that, I still really appreciated it. So
that's why I have it at number 9. I think out of all the different science fiction films that we could be including here with more so on the action realm, I think that's the perfect example. Like, that's the one that, you like you mentioned, it does have science fiction elements, obviously. But for me, I agree with you. It's much more of an action film. It's much more of, you know, just robots and monsters beating each other up, which is not that far-fetched or far removed from, you know, people beating each other up or cars beating each other up or whatever.
Like Independence Day. Like, yeah, Independence Day is aliens, but no one's going to...
Right. You know,
it's not Space Odyssey.
It's not pure. It's action sci-fi.
Right. I like that one. And Matt, you guys had that one pretty high on your science fiction list, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess we kind of thought of that as like a pure sci-fi film, but like having Dan kind of talk about it. Yeah. Ultimately it is just monsters and human looking robots punching each other in the face and ripping each other apart. So it should be a lot more kind of action focused. But and it was on the outskirts of my list, but I was trying to stay the course. I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to try and double triple down on something right now. I'm going to try and go for something a little bit different. Yeah.
So I almost included my sci-fi list, but since I didn't, I'm like, no, I can include it in action. So
yeah, it's fun when you're doing all the lists because then you can find which list you want to include different movies on and stuff like that. So Matt, what is your number 8?
Number 8. Okay, so this is it's a little bit of a guilty pleasure for me. It's something I've watched quite a few times, and I just watched it recently again too because I thought about it. It just popped up in my head. I'm like, damn, I haven't seen that movie in like a really, really, really long time. And the first time I watched it, it was on a lark. I was like, this movie might be kind of fun. And it actually really, really was a lot of fun. So this goes back to 2012. This isn't one that made DJ's list. This is me interjecting my own personal opinion on this list. So I'm including 2012's Premium Rush, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt bicycle chase film. This film knows exactly what it is. And just seeing the way they set up in New York, like filming in New York is always kind of exciting. And seeing like Joseph Gordon-Levitt kind of have like spider sense, but he has like bicycle sense, I guess you can say. Whatever you want to call it. I don't know what bicycle delivery boy sense. And the thing that I always love too is just Michael Shannon being a complete scumbag, worst guy in the world. His name's Bobby Monday. And just having a name like Bobby Monday is very memorable to me as well. And he's such he's not even evil. He's just a scumbag. He's like, I would put him up in the pantheon of like Alonzo Harris, like Denzel Washington Training Day. But like, of course, Denzel would eat him alive, but kind of in that same kind of bad cop type thing. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a lot of fun in this. It's got some good twists and turns. It's David Coep, and I don't think David Coep gets a lot. I think he gets a lot of crap for stuff he's done. He's also done one of my more favorite underrated horror films, Stir of Echoes, which I like a lot. But Premium Rush, it's super under the radar. I actually just recommended it to my boss and said, and he's a big bicycle guy. I'm like, hey, have you ever seen Premium Rush? You look like a guy who's like watched Quicksilver a lot. So if you love Quicksilver, you probably are going to love Premium Rush. And you watch it, he's like, oh man, that movie was awesome. Like, I knew you'd love it. So I'm converting people one person at a time to go watch Premium Rush. It's a understated little tiny little action film, but it's a lot of fun.
I like it. Go ahead. I actually saw that in theaters, oddly enough. It was a day where like I spent the day at the theater. It was like in August, and there wasn't like a lot there. And so that was when I saw that. And there's that random Dax Shepard movie that he made with like, it was like a kind of like a Cannonball Run ripoff. And that was, but I did have fun with it. Like you said, it's definitely a movie that is, it feels like a movie that would be perfect for like the 80s, but made now.
That's in a blind spot for me, so I will have to put that one on the list. That's the first one we've come across today that I haven't seen, I think. So I will put that on the list because I'm a big JGL fan. So
you're gonna get converted real quick. You're gonna love it.
All right, for my number 8, I'm going to stick with the same year that I was at for my number 9. I'm staying with 2014. Won't be the last time I'm in that year either. Apparently that was a good year for me for action films. And I'm gonna go with a Matthew Vaughn directed Kingsman: The Secret Service. Kingsman for me is just a fun franchise when it comes to action. And like I said, with Free Fire, it kind of has that comedy element as well. So I like to have it a little bit light when you're having so much action, where it's not just like bogging you down in like death counts and stuff like that. Even if there's enough comedy to kind of offset it. So, and I just thought this was a really good performance by all of the main people. Colin Firth was great. Mark Strong was great. And then Taron Egerton, I think, was fantastic. And I just liked the inventiveness of the world of the Kingsmen and kind of what they showed us there. Whether you like this future installments or not, it has nothing to do with the effect that Kingsmen, the original one, had, which was something that seemed like it was fun and unique and new, even if it was, you know, taking things from a lot of different other genres, especially obviously the James Bond films and things of that nature. But I just thought it was enough different. It was enough fun that it's what I want in an action film, just like Free Fire is. So that is why it comes in for me at number 8. Dan, thoughts on Kingsman or your number 8?
I don't know why. The Kingsman movies just never really clicked for me.
Fair enough.
Like they're clearly well made, and like I don't think they're bad, but I just for reason I don't know, they just never really clicked for me.
Matt, what about you? Do you like the Kingsman films?
Yeah, I like the first one a lot. I like the second one maybe better than the first one because it's a little bit more over the top and like even wackier. Uh-huh. I like the addition of the name's escaping me, Channing Tatum. I like his addition in there, and also was it Pascal? Fuck. The Mandalorian now. I can't think of his name. I liked him a lot too. And Julianne Moore was great as just like this weird, kind of understated psycho villain a little bit. So I like the way part two really kind of did a great job in picking up right where part one was. But part one was a lot of fun. That was one that completely took me by surprise because I wrote that off as like, oh, God, another one of these films. Like, I just can't. Because full disclosure, I don't even like, I'm not even a big James Bond fan and that stuff. It's just not, spy movies just don't dig into me too much. Yeah. It's just not my bag, baby.
I also like Samuel L. Jackson, and I especially liked, I'm going to say her name wrong, but Sophia Boutella as the
Gazelle.
Gazelle. I thought that was one of the best characters as far as in the action genre that we came across. Like, she was just an epic villain. And what she was able to do, I thought was a lot of fun. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you too much, Dan, but you can continue with your thoughts or go ahead with your number 8.
Sure. So for my number 8, and we've been talking a lot about movies that are, you know, fun, mindless type of entertainment. My number 8 is not that. It's action, intense, and kind of edge of your seat excitement, which is why I put it on here. I guess you could argue maybe it's not a pure action film compared to some other stuff that I listed here, but I really had no place else to really put it with the genre list we're doing, and it's one of my favorite films of the last decade, and that's Captain Phillips. Nice. For my number 8, the hijack film, obviously directed by Paul Greengrass, who is a well-known action director with, you know, the Bourne franchise, and he's obviously taken real life situations in the past, like with U-993, and he does that. Captain Phillips, again, the action's different. This is the intensity is just so strong with this. Even though, like, going into this, I knew the outcome. Still, like, I was just legitimately always on the edge of my seat. Like, his direction is so strong, just the right use of score, and fantastic performances as well, which is not something you maybe always associate with an action film, but in this, it was certainly helpful. Like the last bit with Tom Hanks, as he's just like, you see the shock just come over him as what happens is kind of, he realizes just what the situation that he just went through is some of the best acting that Hanks ever did. And we top that with just how well directed it was, all the moving parts that are going on, and it's the cat and mouse game of everything. It's just, you know, it's a really strong, well-made movie. We'll just serve, not all action films are going to be nominated for Best Picture, but this one is, and I think it kind of hits all those boxes well. So
yeah, this is definitely, I believe this was in my top 10 of that year as well. I was a big Captain Phillips fan. I was torn on how I felt with this and this genre type thing, but it is an action film. But like anything that was like a little bit more historic, like, you know, based on real things or like war settings and things like that, I was just torn on whether I should include those or not. But it would have been right there if I was, because I think Captain Phillips is a great film. So I definitely agree with that. Matt, any thoughts on that one?
No, it's, to Dan's point, it kind of is, it's action packed in a way it makes you feel like in your guts kind of like unsure, and you know, even though kind of knowing the story, if you know the story, you know the outcome, but you don't know what happened between like the, you know, the start of the hostage crisis and the end of the hostage crisis. It's kind of like everything else in between there is kind of like, well, how did you get through this to get to the end point? And so just, and Paul Greengrass does a great job of that. It's just, and the fact that it's like always in your face and there's no escaping kind of what's going on. It's got that thriller, just action element to it. And that's kind of a one I didn't even really think of, to your point, Kevin. It was kind of like, where's like a line of like, you know, kind of real life drama, action drama, I guess, and like war films and stuff. So I had a few things on my list about that too, but I guess I don't think of like films like, oh, this was Academy Award nominated film. This could not be an action film at all. But stupid me, of course.
What's your number 7, Matt?
All right. So this is the first one. This was this one just missed my list, but this was on DJ's list. So he thinks the world of it. But this is goes back. Talk about kind of divergent things. Like talk about Captain Phillips. Now we're going to a completely stupid kind of like a spy film. And you know how much I love spy films. Even though this has got kind of like a lot of kind of cheesy, kind of like over the top 80s-ness to it as well. So I'm going Atomic Blonde for my number 7. Charlize Theron. And hey, spoiler, this might not be the only time you see her on the list. Wink, wink. Of course, wink, wink doesn't really work on podcasts, but it's fine. But this is just a stupid, and speaking of Sofia Boutella, she's in this as well too. And of course, I remember when the trailer for this came out, they're like Charlize Theron and her like kissing, everybody's like, oh my god, Charlize is going the other way. So this has like all the hallmarks of like Cold War era, you know, this is the Black Widow film before the Black Widow film actually comes out, which, you know, I feel like the Black Widow film is going to be pretty stodgy and kind of take itself too seriously. This one completely does not take itself seriously at all, and it's got that really badass hallway fight scene that's pretty impeccably directed too. So Atomic Blonde, just pure unadulterated male id, even though it's got the badass Charlize Theron in it. So
yeah, this one was on my like in my like 11 to 12 spot. So I remember this one being a lot of fun as well. Same with like a bunch of these other action films I've been talking about. There is a lot of action and, you know, toughness and whatnot, but there's also that line of comedy and not taking yourself too seriously. So I think that works. And I really liked the use of color in this film as well. Mm-hmm. I think they did a lot of good stuff with that. And obviously the female lead helps, especially with someone like Charlize Theron. So this is like right in that 11 to 12 spot for me. So I'm in agreement with you. Dan, any thoughts on Atomic Blonde?
I actually haven't fully seen it. I was watching it, and then something happened, and I didn't finish it, and I never went back to it. And I really wanted to, because I was enjoying what I was seeing. So,
all right, homework. For my number 7, I am going to go to the year 2017 for the first time, which was also when Atomic Blonde came out. But mm-hmm. I'm going to go with a different film from that year, and that would be the Edgar Wright film Baby Driver. I just think that this was a whole lot of fun. Action, a little tiny bit of comedy, but what put this movie over the top was obviously the use of music and how they incorporated that into the film, especially with Ansel Elgort's character. And then you get the fun performances by the likes of Jamie Foxx. You know, you got John Hamm in there. It wouldn't be an action list if you didn't get John Barenthal in there somewhere. So I just think Baby Driver is a lot of fun on rewatch as well. Scored really well with critics. I think it's in the 90-something percentile with Rotten Tomatoes. Also was very prevalent in all the lists that I looked at, in a lot of people's top 10 for action films from last decade, and I thought I couldn't leave it off. So Baby Driver from 2017 is my number 7. Dan, what's yours?
So I feel like I might be stepping on toes with my number 7, so I'm not going to say a lot.
Come on, Dan.
So, looking at the action genre for last year, there were tons of action franchises, which kind of led the charge. And what I did personally, I don't know what other people did. I just chose one, typically my favorite, obviously, out of those, instead of including, you know, each one. That's why, you know, included movies like Captain Phillips and Pacific Rim to, you know, get the variety. So for my number 7, and I feel like some people may think this is too low, and I enjoy these movies, maybe not to the levels most people, which is why it's my number seven is John Wick. I went with Chapter 2. I think it's my favorite. I think they're all good. But I think the what gets me with John Wick Chapter 2 is just how amazing it looks. It's just a fantastic looking film along with all the action. I do think with the John Wick movies, I do get almost exhausted by them because there is so much action. It's all well done, but there's just a lot of it. But still, I do love the world that it builds, this little underground kind of world of assassins and all the crazy roles and things like that that they go through. And just how like John Wick is just put through the ringer. I went with, but because of that exhaustion, I often feel like that's why it's number seven compared to some other action film franchises I felt a little bit stronger with, but I'll leave it at that.
All right. We'll let you leave it at that. Matt, what is your number six?
Well, you kind of said a lot of what you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because my number six is Baby Driver. So I'm one step, one list above you on number six. I really have to go and revisit this film because I saw it in the theater and I remember loving it and my wife loved it too. So it was a great kind of like, oh, great, we can really enjoy this movie together. And I mean, overall, I just enjoy Edgar Wright's body of work. I think he's so kind of consistent with what he wants to do. Every film for him is kind of like a different concept, and this one was like more balls to the wall action for him. Everything else was kind of like zombies or, you know, sci-fi or kind of like Hot Fuzz was action, but it was more kind of like wink wink nod nod, where it was like kind of like this goofball kind of action film, whereas Baby Driver felt was like an old school kind of like, it felt like something like out of Bullet or something, or something out of the 70s, where it was just like great car chases. You had these really colorful, goofy characters. I love John Hamm. I love Jamie Foxx. I love John Barenthal. But I also like the relationship between Lily James and Baby. I like that dynamic. I thought it was kind of a real sweet little kind of, you get all this like these hard criminal assholes, and then you get like this sweet little romance with them, which is kind of cute. So it's number six for me because I just remember loving it for so long. But it's definitely something I have to go back to and revisit and enjoy again, because I think it's been far, far too long since I've seen this film. But it's still up there in the decade for me.
Yeah. All right. For my number six, I guess this is similar to what Dan's pick with Captain Phillips for me, because I don't know if everybody would necessarily think of this first off and foremost as an action film, but it is described on everywhere I look it up as an action thriller. And I'm going to go with a 2015 film, first time in that year, I believe, and that is from Denis Villeneuve, and I'm going with Sicario for number six. Just for that sequence alone, when they're on the streets, I don't know how you get more thrilling than that. Maybe a little bit more thriller than action. Maybe some people could make that argument, but for me, when I came across this film, I couldn't deny how good of a film it is, and if I can squeeze it in the action genre, then this is where it's going to go. So just a lot of fun. Josh Brolin is fantastic in this. I think Emily Blunt is good in almost anything I've ever seen her in. And since I had already used the film with a million titles on the science fiction list, I found a way to get her in on this in a different film. So Sicario is my number six. Matt or Dan, any thoughts on that one? Do you think that fits in with action?
I think it fits in with action as much as, like you said, with Captain Phillips does, and it does have, again, some fantastic action sequences. And since we're not doing like a crime list, I think it doesn't comp. This would make the most sense.
Yeah.
Instead of all the different genre lists we're doing.
Fair enough. What is your number six, Dan?
My number six is more of a straightforward action film, but it is a movie that has tons of action, directed by Takeisha McKay, I'm not saying that incorrectly, who does like a movie a minute. I don't know, dude makes so many films. I'm going with 13 Assassins from another 2010 film. This movie is a marathon, and with it's at the last hour or so, it takes a bit for the action to kind of kick in, but once it does, it's just this massive battle that is just so well choreographed. It's not one shot, but it feels like it, and it's just it it's genius in the way like all the action is laid out. There's a story being told, even though there is not a lot of words being said. Again, it's kind of that old school samurai action, not a lot of CG, just really good really good filmmaking, especially if you enjoy yourself a samurai film. So I would say there are a lot of kind of films along this line I thought about including, but I thought of all of them, 13 Assassins was by far the best of the decade, so that's why I went with it for my number six.
Awesome. All right, so a lot of good films. I haven't seen that one. Matt, you mentioned you drafted, so I assume you've seen it.
Yeah, it's really, I like Takashi Miike just in general. I mean, I'm more used to like his horror stuff, like, you know, Ichi the Killer, Audition, Oju, things like that, Visitor Q. So this is, to Dan's point, like this guy has made so many friggin' films. It's like, if you look at his filmography, it's kind of, you kind of get bogged down, but he does everything. It goes from horror to thriller to like dark child fantasy to like assassin films. Like he did the Dead or Alive films too, which are kind of like Yakuza based like crime films, but this is like a fun film, and it's got what Ken Watanabe is like the lead and everything. And is it Ken Watanabe? No, that's another Takashi. I get my Takashi Miike films all mixed up too. So no.
there's also the Blade of the Immortal.
Yeah.
Which is similar. That might have even more action than 13 Assassins, but I think 13 Assassins is a better film. But
yeah, it's got that old school samurai feel to it, which I like.
I apparently have not seen a single film that this guy has made.
He's only got like 200 of them, so,
I don't know how I haven't seen it. Anytime. But I'll have to catch up with a bunch of them. All right, so that is our first half of our list, our 10 through 6 picks. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to reveal the top 5 action films from the last decade. Stick with us.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top 3 lists.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
Now back to the show. Do you see how your patience paid off?
All right, thanks for sticking with us. As I said before the break, it's time now for the top 5 action films of the last decade. Matt, we start with you and your number 5.
All right. Well, this is where we start getting into the section where DJ and I agree pretty much on all these films. It's just a matter of where we're ranking them at this point. And you'll notice that we share a brain, so we all kind of think very similar about our action films. And again, there's going to be a lot of films where people are punching each other in the face here and doing other things to the bodies. So starting with the top 5, and it was funny, I was reading an article about this film earlier today, and it's a Netflix original, I guess you can say. So the first kind of like a Netflix original film on this list. And it was talking about the use of algorithms and how people watch their films, and apparently this film just got swallowed up in the year that it came out. It came out in 2018, I believe. If I'm not good at stuff, 2018. And the idea in 2018 that Netflix original stuff, they had about 653 or like hours of content that they created. So this got lost in the shuffle. But I won't stand on ceremony anymore. It's from the guys who do all the Raid stuff and everything. So starting this kind of trend now with the 2018 film The Night Comes for Us, which is also, I guess, kind of loosely based on a graphic novel, I believe, as well. And if you love The Raid and you love all those other, if you like the John Wick films, if you just like crazy Indonesian action, but also with a heavy dose of just blood, guts, gore, getting stabbed in the neck with cow bones, getting stabbed in the face with box cutters, things like that. If you're into that, you will love The Night Comes for Us, because this movie is absolutely 2 hours of insanity that doesn't really have much of a story, but who cares when you're seeing just things you would never think you would ever see in your life, except maybe like in your nightmare or something like that. So
this was actually on, Film Inquiry had this as their number 4 action film of the decade. Film School Rejects had this at their number 3. So a lot of people in agreement with you there. Dan, have you seen The Night Comes for Us?
I have not, but now I want to. So right. Now it's on Netflix, so that makes me excited.
There we go.
Sure you got to search for it, though, because it is hard to find. Because
as is everything on Netflix.
It did not pop up right away. I was like, I know there's a movie I got to watch. And like, I started putting like The Night. I think it was like The Night something else, or like maybe The Nightmare Man or something. I was like, oh, The Night Comes for Us. I want to watch that. And it was fantastic.
I still say that Netflix is about the most user unfriendly way of finding films on it possible. I know you can search things out, but I don't know. I have problems with it.
But the algorithm, Kevin. The algorithm.
I just want to be able to pick a year, and I want you to show me all the films you have from that year. But that's not a thing. For my number 5, it's going to be very similar to what Dan was talking about when he talked about, I believe, his number 6. I might be getting the number wrong. But when it comes to a lot of these franchises that are very prevalent when it comes to the action scene in the decade, I did the same thing as Dan. I tried to just pick one out of it, or even cheat and just have a slot for that franchise if I can't decide between the films. And the first example of that is here on my number 5. So I don't know if we want to go with the 2011 film or the 2015 film. I'm not going with the 2013 or the 2017 film. And I can't believe a film like this has made any list. If you would have talked to myself, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, I was very anti this franchise, but I think it turned a corner and knew what it was doing after a while. So I'm going to go with the Fast and Furious franchise with either Fast 5 or Furious 7. I think one of those two would be the ones that I would be putting on this list. But it's my number 5, so maybe I should go with Fast 5. But I feel like the 5th installment of this franchise is kind of where things changed a little bit for it. And it took on a new direction where it wasn't taking itself as serious. It was kind of stepping away from some of the, I don't know, the drama and some of the other stuff, and just kind of becoming batshit crazy. And that's where I loved it. And of course you had The Rock come along during the ride on around this time as well. So Fast and Furious franchise should be talked about if we're talking about action films. I mean, they're going to be in space soon, blowing shit up and stuff like that. So I don't know how much crazier it can get than what we've already seen, but they're going to up the level, I'm sure. So Fast and Furious franchise comes in at my number 5. Dan, what's your number 5?
Nice. I might have my list disqualified from it. I did not have any of the Fast and Furious films on my list. I thought about 5, but I think it's probably the best one, but I don't know. I like those movies, but eventually I just kind of get to the point
I can see that. I'm done with them. I'm just trying not to get yelled at for not having it on my list.
Yeah, I know.
Who are these people?
Yeah. Well, Mike,
CFU and Mike will definitely yell at me if I don't include
the internet. It's bad.
Yeah.
So, what's your number 5, Dan?
I figured people would have them, so I'd go other ways. But yeah. So through a film action fan franchise, which I probably get to a lot in this top 5, I did choose one. It was hard. It was really, really hard which one to choose. But I did go with a Mission Impossible film here. And I chose, I know a lot of people probably, Rogue Nation seems to be the choice or the best one for a lot of people, which I get. But actually, to me, my favorite Mission Impossible still is 2011's Ghost Protocol. In large part because of the direction of Brad Bird. I think he just has a really great visual style to him. There's even a good sense of humor to this. It's interesting, like there's moments where it's a little bit reverential and commenting on kind of the spy genre itself, like sometimes just side comments or things like that, or like there's a sequence with Jeremy Renner and Tom Cruise, and they're kind of explaining like, why would you do that? Like, why would what you did actually work. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, don't think about it. And I don't know. There's a lot of things like that. And there's a great like sequence within the Kremlin using technology that was very Brad Bird, like, which I thought made it feel a little bit different compared to some of the other Mission Impossible films, which are great and have amazing, you know, action sequences with Tom Cruise basically putting his life on the line for a movie, each one. And this one too is the, that sequence on top of in Dubai, on top of the largest building in the world, which I still get vertigo from just thinking about. Speaking of movies, the best see in theaters, like seeing that on IMAX was intense. So yeah, just again, pure action. The story is a bit bonkers, and the more you try to piece together and think about it, it hurts your brain. But ultimately, it delivers on the action, which is why I have it as my number five.
I'm going to jump ahead here because I have this at my number four. Nice. I just have Mission Impossible, though, because because I don't know if I can decipher here. I will give you where other people had it ranked. So Film School Rejects actually agreed with you, or actually they have Rogue Nation as their number nine. They had Ghost Protocol as their number 11. Screen Rant has Mission Impossible Fallout as their number four. World of Real has Mission Impossible Fallout as their number two. Charge has Fallout at number 10, Head Stuff Fallout at number 9, Slash Film Fallout at number 2. So a lot of Fallout love. I don't know the difference between them all. I would have to watch them again and try to like figure out which one's which, because I don't know, but they all are, you know, they're action films. Like, that is what they are, and they're very I think the thing that separates them maybe from a lot of the other action films that we've talked about, I mean, like Baby Driver had the music piece, and some of them have had the comedy piece and things like that. I think Mission Impossible gets it with like the gadget piece. Like, you watch it for all the fun, inventive type of almost like Bond-esque gadgets that they come up with and things that they do. So that's what makes them fun for me. And you can't have an action list again without having Tom Cruise in there somewhere. So I think this gets him in there. So I'm in complete agreement. I have it at number four. Matt, any thoughts, or are you holding your thoughts till later?
I'll hold my thoughts a few more, but so, I think Ghost Protocol is an interesting one because I feel like it's like the black sheep of the kind of Mission Impossible films in the 2010s, where it's like, it seemed like it was kind of like not taken seriously or something like that. But I mean, I guess Brad Bird with Mr. Incredible doing this, like, yeah, but he brought a different life, you know, to it too. So it's kind of funny where you guys agree. I get lost in these films too, where it's like, well, what's the action set piece that had this one is this.
I kept thinking Rogue Nation was the last.
That's what
I kept thinking Rogue Nation was the last one. But it was Fallout, which is the last one. That's why I was like, because I know that the most recent one people are the ones that because of the helicopter sequences and stuff like that, which are great. But yeah, I have a special place for Ghost Pro. So
I like it. Matt, what is your number four then?
Number four for me is, and I could cheat on this a little bit, but it's only one of two things that I can cheat on. But DJ and I kind of agreed on this. He had this at number three, and I had this pretty much at like number, I think, five or six. So we're keeping with the Indonesian theme and going with the Raid 2. But special shout out, of course, to the original Raid, which I almost kind of feel like I like a little bit more because it's not as long or as bloated in some ways. But the Raid 2 has a mud fight, it's got a car fight, it's got a nightclub fight, it's got the kitchen fight at the end, it's got these, and it's got our hero fighting a girl with hammers and a guy with a baseball bat, and it's just claustrophobic and intense, and this movie's kind of long too, so like about 2.5 hours, which I'm like, oh crap, when I saw it in the theater, I'm like, not prepared for this movie to be 2.5 hours, but I did not regret watching any of those minutes of the 2.5 hours, because that just, the Raid 2 was just a adrenaline rush, and they took the Raid 1 and said, you like the Raid 1, that's cute, watch for the Raid 2. And it was, I hope one day they do a Raid 3, but I mean, just the amount of work it takes to do these films, I can't even imagine. And it's Gareth Evans who did the films, both films, just he understands how to coordinate these guys and shoot the action and do it so well. And that's one of many reasons why it's number four on my list.
The internet agrees with you. All the different lists that looked at, half of them have Raid and half of them have Raid 2. So
it's a coin flip, to be honest with you.
We my man and I tried to watch this, and it's just not my type of film, so we ended up stopping it before we got through. It's just not my type of action film, but I know that I am in the vast minority, and a lot of people do love the Raid films, and I get it because of the choreography and because of the way it's filmed, and it is nonstop shenanigans and action and blood and gore and punching and all kinds of stuff, so I get that that works for a lot of people. It just didn't work for me, but... I know I'm alone. So, Dan, what's your number four? Because I already gave mine.
My number four, again, kind of a bit of a cheat, because some could argue it's not really an action film, but like we're not doing crime and we aren't doing a war list either. So I went with 1917 as my number four action film, because what makes this movie is the insane amount of action that takes place. If we were doing a war film, I probably wouldn't have included it, but I was trying to think of something that was a little bit outside the box that I was just impressed with by how well it was directed and ultimately just the intensity of it, similar with Captain Phillips. And this, to me, you know, came to mind. It was actually, as I realize it now, the last movie I've seen saw in theaters. And it is, again, like with a lot of these movies, I've talked about a great theater experience. It's just incredible. I know the whole gimmick of the, you know, being one extended shot or whatever, it is what it is, but you can't take it away just how insane it was and when what they were able to accomplish, just in the sense of like the sets and what they had to do just to make this all feel kind of come alive and feel real, like the action sequence is within it. The plane sequence was intense and crazy, where you have like the falling plane, the no man's land, all that. Again, it's weird maybe putting an action list because it's obviously very brutal action, but I do feel like it probably would fit best here compared to other places. So
I think it's a fantastic film. It was kind of like what I talked about before. I wasn't quite sure what to do with these, so I kept this group kind of just right on the outskirts. So I had 1917, I had Fury, I had Hacksaw Ridge, and what else was there?
I had Lone Survivor in there too.
And that was American Sniper on there kind of too, just in this group that I would have considered if I had decided to include that kind of offshoot of it. And 1917 is probably, in my opinion, the best out of those. So I have no problem being in there. It is a different type of action, but it's definitely very much action, very much, I don't know if thriller is the right word, but edge of the seat type of, almost nerve-wracking watch. And I was very impressed by this film. So I'm glad you found a way to get that involved, since we're not having a war or something of that nature countdown. I think this is great. So Matt, what are your thoughts on 1917?
I think Dan enjoys the butt puckering film experience, which, I think we all do from time to time, but I think this was probably one of the last films I saw in the theater as well. Well, I think it was sometime in January when I caught it and was the last kind of movie experience, and it's very much suited for the movie experience, and seeing that scene going through no man's land and the plane scene, and even the running through the burned city and everything too, with just like all the shadows and everything, that was incredible and just fast paced and like, oh, what's going to happen next? And of course, even the end, the final battle with just people, just hundreds of people just running across with just bombs going off. I mean, it probably is more of an action film than a war film. It's a action film that happens to take place in World War One. So, that's, again, I mean, I'm a meathead, so I was like, oh, I'm not going for anything cerebral, so I'm going to go for 1917 here. So,
but, I mean, that's an uncerebral number three pick.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys already kind of waxed poetic a little bit on Ghost Protocol, so I'll make mine brief. This is something, again, splitting hairs between DJ and I again, but I think I went with the one that's higher on his list and kind of made the way up to number three. I'm going Mission Impossible Fallout. I think this was the darkest, most high stakes Mission Impossible film. And the fact that it also kind of continued the story from Rogue Nation, I really enjoyed that a lot, where you had the same characters, familiar people, everything. It was kind of like the equivalent of how, Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace kind of like rolled into one giant movie. I think I can watch Rogue Nation and Fallout back to back and be completely happy with it. And the inclusion of Henry Cavill, he's a great kind of character. I like everybody who goes crazy about the arm reload scene and everything in the bathroom. And when him and Tom Hanks are getting their Captain Phillips, Tom Cruise are getting their ass kicked by the guy in the bathroom. It's awesome scene. And the helicopter scene is great. And even like the final little battle that, that they have in the snow at the very end of the film is a lot of fun. And all the characters work really well. The villain is very diabolical. And like, I like a good villain who's just not like a, rubbing their hands together, like, I'm going to tell you my plan, even though that's what these movies come down to. But Mission Impossible Fallout for me is like, if they never made another one, even though they will in space, he'll go to space and he'll be on a SpaceX rocket ship or something, and he has to fight the moon or something. They're going to blow the moon up. Well, we have to stop them. So that's where we're going to go with that next. But
Fallout. Tom Cruise did his own stunts on this with no spacesuit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. he held his breath in space for 7 minutes. It was incredible.
You make a good point about the villain, though. I think the villain in Fallout is far better than that of Ghost Protocol. That's probably the weakest element of Ghost Protocol. So can't deny that. So,
yeah, outside of Philip Seymour Hoffman, he was like the only villain that I was actually like, oh, well, there's stakes. Yeah. There's something to kind of play for. And even come the very end of the film, Fallout, you're still like, some people that I got used to, they might not make it out of this thing, because it plays it pretty close at the very end of the film. But it's really, really fun. This is probably my most butt puckering film out of all the butt puckering films that you guys have come up to. So. Aspect of this conversation. Don't we all?
For my number three, I'm going to go with a different franchise. It's kind of been mentioned in passing, but one of the films has not come up yet. I'm going to go with a film from 2012. I feel like it's the best of the Daniel Craig versions, and I'm going with Skyfall. I just think this is everything you want in the James Bond film, and for that reason it cannot be left off of an action list. This one is the one directed by Sam Mendes, and obviously we have Javier Bardem, Ralph Fiennes, Judi Dench, a bunch of other people. I'm not going to name them all, but I just think I like most of the Daniel Craig films, but for this one, like, this is where it kind of hit its crescendo. This is where like the climax happened for his run as James Bond, in my opinion. And I just think it hits on all cylinders. I don't think there's any aspect of this film that doesn't work. And I'm not like a huge classic like James Bond historian. I have not seen most of the early James Bond films. Amanda and I started kind of watching for the first time from the beginning, but we've only got through like the first like three films so far. My experience with James Bond is what existed while I was growing up, which is Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig. And I think this is my favorite out of those. I'd have to go back and rewatch the Pierce Brosnan ones, but it's for sure my favorite Daniel Craig film. So Skyfall is my number three. Dan, what's your number three?
My number three is also Skyfall. So there you go. I wasn't a big James Bond fan until really Skyfall came out. Like Casino Royale was probably what got me into really enjoying the James Bond franchise. I did watch GoldenEye, but to me, GoldenEye was better for the video game than it was the movie. So when this was coming out too, I think it was the 50th anniversary. I forget exactly, but I went back and I, you know, watched a lot of the James Bond movies for the first time, and then this came out and it legitimately did blow me away. The Roger Deakins cinematography on this is phenomenal. Just the end sequence where you have this like house and like, these silhouette is just gorgeous to look at. I was hoping he would get an Oscar for it, but eventually he did not. But eventually, you know, he got the Oscar. He was, you know, deserved Destined for so many years. Javier Bardem's villain is fantastic. He's great. I love the intro scene for him and his showdown with Bond, and just their awkward back and forth, but the fun awkward. And he's almost like a, you know, he's very akin to someone like the Joker in this, and how he plans things out and everything. And then it becomes, you know, Home Alone at the end, but I still really like it because of that. So I love Skyfall. I think it is pure James Bond. Like, I agree with you when it's the top of Daniel Craig's films. Casino Royale are, to me, up there. They're really, really close with one another. I think ultimately because of just the craftsmanship, Skyfall's a bit higher. I was in a way, like, if it was his last James Bond film, I would, you know, I think it would be fitting, although it almost works as an origin, oddly enough, in a way too. But it's an origin, plus it's a, you know, a love letter, because you bring out the Aston Martin near the end as well. So I don't know, but it's great. And I obviously agree with you, because I also have it at my number three.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, Matt, thoughts on Skyfall, or jump right into your number two?
Yeah, real quick on Skyfall. Is this also the film where he's like in the pit with the Komodo dragons?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's why I'm like this. That's why I don't like the film. That's why I don't like it, but also why I do like it in certain ways, where it has that certain, like, he like jumps off one of their heads and it's like, oh yeah, okay. Goofball shit. That it's, but it's like the rest of the film is like played pretty straight, which is kind of like this odd little kind of like thing that drops in the middle of the film. And I mean, call me the devil and everything like that, I actually prefer the action in Spectre more than I do in Skyfall, to be honest, because it's a little bit more over the top and ridiculous. I like the kind of one shot in the beginning with the Day of the Dead thing. I think that was really cool.
Yeah,
and by the way, no, none of these James Bond films were on my radar, so don't crucify me or anything. But and then I like the train sequence with Batista, where he's fighting on the train. It's like an old school harken back to Connery. It's like, I feel like Spectre was kind of like the Dr. No Connery type stuff, and then Skyfall was kind of like this amalgamation of, you know, we're gonna play this kind of straight but kind of not, and also include, probably, I mean, in my opinion, Javier Bardem's character is definitely one of the better, probably top three villains, I would say, out of all of them too. But I digress. Skyfall and James Bond films are fine. Again, I don't like all that. I mean, I just said before, I don't like all that stuff, but it's just me. So number two for me, this is also going to be kind of like cutting the deck a little bit and kind of splitting hairs. I'm going with the kind of cheating here, but it's John Wick. But the thing is, we agreed on John Wick 3 to be on number two, DJ and I. And I love John Wick 3. I think it's kind of the perfect amalgamation. And again, it's the continuation of John Wick 2. It's just like Fallout and Rogue Nation. It kind of goes into, it's one long movie. I actually prefer John Wick 1 because it's a little bit more stripped down. And I think one of my favorite kind of fight sequences, or kind of like, you know, set pieces, is probably the bathhouse scene. I think it's almost like an opera in a lot of ways, with like the really kind of soft music that's being played and everything. I really like that song a lot. I find myself singing that, oddly enough, in the shower, you know, so that's just me being weird. But John Wick 3 is like the perfection, I feel, of everything, you know, about the Assassin's Guild and the different thing, and including, you know, Angelica Houston's character in there, kind of getting an idea of the kind of the history of John Wick a little bit, and the Baba Yaga and everything. So that's kind of cool. And it's setting up for maybe John Wick 4, maybe one day. And it has all the guys for the raid in it too, and he kicks all their asses, which I don't think would really happen. But John Wick is just, you know, he's death incarnate. He's the Baba Yaga. And John Wick 3, we agreed on 3, but no. I digress.
You're not there to speak for him, so you can better. You can say part one. All right, so I'm just going to piggyback off of that, because my number two is John Wick 1.
Oh, man, there you go.
We've mentioned all of them then, so we've had 1, 2, and 3 all make the top 10 list. But for me, I agree with you, Matt. I think number 1 is scaled down a little bit more, and there's more moments in John Wick 1 that I appreciate. Whereas I think if you're looking at it from a straight action standpoint, yes, probably 2 and 3 do have more like visually stunning, like choreographed action set pieces and things of that nature. So they're probably more appealing to somebody if they're looking for like straight up action, I guess. But I like a little bit more of the moments and some of the story and some of the characters that we get in John Wick, the original one. So that's what I'm going with. John Wick just made one fatal mistake, and it just came out in the wrong decade, because otherwise for me it would easily be the number one action film of the decade. Mm-hmm. So it's not even close for me between number two and number three. So John Wick is far ahead of all the rest of the films that I've talked about. I love this franchise. I love the world that they created. I like all the ins and outs, and I am a huge fan of kind of the rules and the hotel and all of the elements in the world that they built. And Ian McShane, I can watch him in anything. He is amazing. So, and there's a lot of other little nuggets that you get in there too, from a lot of different actors and things of that nature. So love the John Wick franchise. And it is at number two for me as well. So I'm in agreement. All right, Dan, what is your number two?
My number two was already mentioned with The Raid. And I had a similar problem, which I didn't know which one to go with, one or two, because I think they're both really great. And I think ultimately the highs in two are higher, but the lows are also lower. So I ended up going with The Raid, the first one, for my number two. It's just similar to the first John Wick movie. It's a little bit more streamlined. Again, the plot's pretty simple. We need to get into this building and go up it. And with that, I think it doesn't think overstay its welcome a little bit. And I think the second one, I think, the sequences are amazing, the car chase and everything like that, but it does kind of meander a bit where there's no fat on the bone in the first Raid. It kind of starts off right away and doesn't stop. It also has a bit of, similar with the first John Wick, it has a little bit of the surprise factor as well, because, you know, it was something kind of making its name. It wasn't going, after you set the expectations, it's a little bit harder to meet them. You know, similar with the first John Wick movie, where I remember like people being, you know, expecting it, but it kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, compared to, and with, similar with The Raid, obviously being this Indonesian film, you know, made with a super low budget with a director that was still proving himself within the industry. And clearly I went to a country that did not have many safety regulations compared to the United States to get many of these action sequences. So I knew right away when we were doing this list that like this was going to be my number two. I just didn't know which one. Ultimately, you know, it's fantastic action. I can understand why, Kevin, why it may not work for you, because if you don't like that type of action, you're going to get all, you're just going to get yeah. more of it by the time it ends. So if it's not clicking with you, it's not going to like vary it up. It's interesting that you like John Wick though, because I feel like when I look at the action styles, they maybe John Wick has a little bit more story to it. But I feel like action wise, they're akin to one another, but
I'm yeah. just kidding.
True.
I need.
To I mean, even like the Raid guys are in John Wick, so
that's true. I need to give Raid another chance. Okay, you've convinced
Come
me.
Come on.
All right. I don't know how we want to do this, but we all have the same number one, so I'm very confident in that. So I'm just going to say your name, and you could just say the movie, Matt, and then I'll agree, and then Dan will agree. So what's your number one action?
And then we'll discuss.
What is it, Matt?
The Great Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes, it is. That is my number one as well. Dan, it is your number one, I assume?
That is correct.
Okay, so it is also
I thought Dan was going to have like a pregnant pause for a minute. It was like, actually, no.
I was like, oh, shit. I put my foot in my mouth. Film School Rejects, number one. Screen Rants, number two. World of Reels, number one. Head Stuff's number one. Slash Films, number three. Film Inquiry is number five. So a couple of them didn't have it at number one, but everybody had it somewhere up there. So Matt, why is this the best action film of the last decade?
It's just, I think the fact, and I've always loved the Mad Max franchise. I mean, even though Thunderdome has plenty of flaws and it's kind of weird and wacky, I love Thunderdome. It's so dumb. It's like just the encapsulation of like Tina Turner. And then she's got like this weird saxophone guy with his eyes, or he doesn't have eyes, or whatever the problem was.
Amanda really hates it when I sing the Thunderdome song, though.
Oh, God, we don't need another hero.
She hates it when I start singing that.
Jeez, I mean, it's
in a very obnoxious way, though.
So. Yeah. Oh God. do you sing like the do like we don't need it? Did you play like the little kid parts too and everything like that? Yeah, you know what they're doing? Oh, that's fantastic. Well, she needs to get with it and appreciate the docile tones of you. But this film, just from the get go, it sets the pace pretty much right out of the gate, where you have Mad Max eating a lizard and him just going through another bad day. It's just another bad day, or bad couple days for him, basically. Probably his worst 2 days. I mean, the other days were bad, but these were probably the worst two. But it ended on a high note for him, at least. And he learned something, too. So it's a learning. You learn a lesson in this film. And I don't know. There's just everything about this film and I can just watch it or turn it on and be like, I'm in a mood. Because certain action films, if it comes, like, I have to really be in a mood. I feel like I'm always in the mood to watch Mad Max Fury Road from beginning to end. It's got crazy characters, crazy stunts. I mean, you created like another, I mean, outside of Mad Max being an iconic character, I would kind of like, you know, challenge you to say Furiosa. I know, rightly so, right by his name, where Furiosa is almost more recognizable for the Mad Max franchise than Mad Max is, maybe. And it just, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with this film. There's nothing I can say bad about this film right now. Right now, I can think about it, but I will not think about it because it will upset me and make me sad.
I think for me, it summed up as this. We basically have a cast of characters that we watch go from point A to point B, and then we watch them go from point B back to point A. And that sounds like the most boring thing in the world, and it is riveting entertainment for the entire process. So, like, I don't know how they pulled that off, but Miller is a genius, and it works in all facets. Dan, you're the better speaker of all of us, I feel like, when it comes to waxing
more poetic eloquent about what we're going to say. Yeah.
So why is Mad Max the best?
It's the best because it just kicks ass. To be poetic. no, I think it's just remarkable that this movie was made. Like, it exists. It's insane. You know, thinking of the movie before this that George Miller made was Happy Feet, and he goes from that, and it's like, yeah, I'm gonna return to Mad Max. Like, oh, okay. And I remember the trailer comes out, and it's like, that actually looks like really good, like really, really good. And then it's just visually, it's so impressive. The insanity of it, like, it just keeps finding ways to up itself. You know, we talked about, you know, with Mission Impossible, all the crazy stunts, but there's a lot of crazy stunts in Mad Max as well. You know, people on like I don't even know what you call them, but they're like on like springs jumping, you know, on cars. The dude with the guitar and fire coming out of it and everything like that. It's like a heavy metal Kiss show, but like actually with
better musicians
and talent, you know. It's not just you know, all kind of cliche and things of that nature, but it's George Miller just doing something I think no one else can, like, kind of, you know, looking at what all these, like, you know, new up-and-coming people are doing and saying, yeah, I, you know, I might be older, I might be long in the tooth compared to everyone else, but we're gonna make this work. And it's a bit ballsy to take your main character, Mad Max, and put a muzzle over him for the majority of the movie. Like, he's a side character. It's barely his film. I think because he trusted himself and he trusted the story he wanted to tell. And the fact that, like, Tom Hardy saw that, it's like, yeah, I'm in. And so it's just, I don't know. I don't think there's a movie that's probably been more hyped than this. And I feel like it gets to the point where most people, like, I haven't seen anyone ever call it overrated, but I'm sure it's there. But I just think it's unlike anything else. Despite the fact that it's like the fourth film in the franchise, and the plot is very much similar to the second film, but it finds a way just to kind of revel in the insanity of everything more and more and more, and just not try to be something it isn't. And ultimately, it leads to just this movie that is one of the trademarks of the last decade. You know, it's to the point that even like the Academy had to recognize it and say, yeah, this is good. We're going to actually give it some real awards. I think it won Best Editing and obviously some special effects awards. But I think the editing thing is key too, because that, like, that's usually goes hand in hand with Best Picture, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But still, like, it's for a moment there, like, it had a chance. Yeah. And it would have been great. It didn't happen, but it would have been fantastic.
For sure. All right, we're going to do a couple things here. We're going to give everybody a chance to talk about any films that just missed their list in an honorable mention sort of the way. And then I'm going to see if any of the films that these different websites had listed in their top 10, if they haven't been talked about yet. And then we're going to wrap it up with who is the action star of the last decade, or who are those actors or actresses that epitomized action films for the 2010s. So, Matt, starting off with just a handful of films that didn't quite make your list, any?
Yeah, just a few. I mean, one off DJ Solista didn't quite make it is the Indian film War from 2019. Basically, it's an over-the-top Bollywood version of Face Off. It's complete, utter insanity, but what would you expect from action films from India for the most part? I also included Lone Survivor, kind of my honorable mentions. I had The Guest, which I think is kind of in that more thriller type thing, but kind of like very kind of creepy thriller. Got some action flaring in there. I had Fury as well. I know you kind of included Fury in your list. And I also had The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And funny enough, I included The Spy Who Dumped Me. And I think The Spy Who Dumped Me, I didn't want to include, it wasn't good enough to be on my comedy list. And it just wasn't quite good enough to be in my action list. But The Spy Who Dumped Me is actually a very quaint, funny film that has some really good action in it as well too. So those would be my honorable mentions.
Most of the ones for me were ones that I just couldn't quite like. They had just enough of a different genre or something that I wasn't quite sure if I should fit them on this list or not. The one that I subbed out for Free Fire would have been Green Room. I just didn't know if that was too much of like more of a thriller than an action film, so I kind of like let that one be on the outside. We already talked about Atomic Blonde. Creed was a movie that if we were doing a sports list, I would have fit it in, and I was trying to find a way to fit it in here because there is action there, but I couldn't. Not enough action where I felt comfortable doing this. I already mentioned all the different war films. Bone Tomahawk we talked about. A Guilty Pleasure for Bad Times at El Royale and Hotel Artemis. I enjoy both of those films. And then maybe from a little bit of a different standpoint, World War Z and Train to Busan. We didn't really have a list for those, so I was thinking about sneaking those in here. And Jason Bourne, like, if I would have put that on here, it would have been just on the merits of the original films. So I couldn't quite sneak that one on there, even though I think the Bourne franchise is a great action franchise. And then the last one would be The Accountant from 2016. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a fun action film. So, Dan, what about you? Any that didn't quite make your list?
So I joked, but I did really think about putting the Fast Five on my list. It was very close. I mentioned Hannah again, which is more of a drama, but it has some good, it has some memorable action sequences in it. I didn't include it because it was in my comic book list, but Edge of Tomorrow, also giving sci-fi. Baby Driver was actually my number 11. I just missed my list. Also, Dread, again, kind of a comic book movie, first and foremost, maybe science, but it's very, that and The Raid obviously have very similar plot mechanics. The idea of like, being stuck in this building. You mentioned Atomic Blonde. That was near my, not near my list, but I forget what I was going to say about that. But I didn't include the Apes films either, I guess, because we were right. Those were in science fiction. And I talked about Pacific Rim. I also really liked the Kong Skull Island. It didn't make my list, but I thought I would also mention it because that's, another fun monster film along with the most recent Godzilla, which I know a lot of people hated, but I thought that was, I don't know, it succeeded at being a Godzilla movie. so... Yeah, an Upgrade. That was the last one I had. I had it next to Atomic Blonde. I meant to mention Upgrade, which I really liked. I think people loved it a lot more than I did, but I didn't enjoy it, so I thought it deserved a mention.
Interesting. You guys knocked out a lot of the ones that we hadn't mentioned from these lists. So I looked at like 7 different lists online, took their top 10s. I think we've hit almost like 90% of them. It has to be. I don't think anybody said anything about The Man from Nowhere. I don't know what that is, but that was on
Asian. I think it's a Japanese film or
Chinese. Gotcha. Haywire was on 2 different people's lists on those websites, making that list. Dan mentioned, go ahead.
I almost said Haywire. It's been such a long time.
I forgot that came out in the 2010s.
Yeah. Gina Carano, right? I thought about that, but again, like it's been such a, I don't remember anything. I remember liking it, but I don't remember anything from it. So I didn't.
And then you snuck Dread in there, which knocked off, it had appeared on like 4 or 5 of those lists. So that was good. 13 Hours, the Benghazi film was on one list. Let's see if we're missing any others. A lot of the comic book films that we kind of disqualified, Bone Tomahawk, you mentioned, Warrior was on a list as far as that goes.
Did that come out like 2010?
It must have been just hitting the cut there.
2010 yeah. Films. It's completely
Dan, crazy. You mentioned Hannah, that was on somebody's list. And then a Drug War and Universal Soldier.
I saw Drug War. Drug War is good. I know there was a Universal Soldier like direct DVD movie that came out this decade that a lot of people liked. I haven't seen it though. I stopped once Goldberg entered the franchise of Universal Soldier. I tapped out. So
yeah, that one actually ended up making two lists. Universal Soldier was on two of the different lists, so maybe it's something worth checking out. I don't know. All right, thinking of action stars of the decade, you know, like I talked about with Jean-Claude Van Damme, we've had Arnold Schwarzenegger, we've had a lot of other people throughout the years that you guys can probably mention better than I can. What names come to the top of the list for the 2010s? I'll throw one out and then kind of get your guys' demands off of that. I'll throw two out. I'm going to throw out The Rock and Keanu Reeves. Dan, what's your thoughts on those names, or would you add any to the mix?
I think you would have to always include Keanu Reeves because of the John Wick films. He also had The Man from Tai Chi, I think it was the movie he directed.
Man from Tai Chi.
Pretty good.
47 Assassins or something like that. Was that another one he had?
Yeah, and then that, what was the Ronin movie?
I
don't like
that one, though.
So I would agree. Like, and along the same lines, you know, he was an action star of the 80s, 90s, and now I think 2010s would be Tom Cruise. We talked about him with the fact that his movie Sin to Stick to One John, you know, one he had a few other ones like Oblivion and stuff like that, which I guess aren't necessarily action films, but I mean, just like what he's doing in those action films, like the stunts he's pulling off, I think is you have to include him within that as well. And then obviously, I would think if you're looking at the person who rose to prominence this decade because of the action movies, it would be The Rock. Like he would be as close to, you know, you think he's the highest paid actor, in Hollywood, and I could see why, but he brought life to that Fast and the Furious franchise that wasn't there before. So I wouldn't disagree with that.
Matt, any other names that we would add? What about a female from the female perspective?
I think from female perspective, I mean, I think between Atomic Blonde and Fury Road, you got to include Charlize Theron now, and kind of like, and she kind of always dabbled kind of in action with like Aeon Flux and doing a few things like that. But, and it, even this year, she had that, what was it, the Netflix film, the New Order or whatever it was too. So that was kind of like action-y as well too. So I think you got to include her as kind of like a, but she could do it all. I mean, she can do drama, she could do action, she could do comedy, she could kind of do it all. So I would definitely include her clearly in the list. And I'd also include because we did so much talking about, you know, John Wick and the Raid movies, and then I come from Eco Uace has to be included now because he's even kind of crossed over into the American. Well, he had that Mile 22 film that he was in with Mark Wahlberg, and he's did the Skyline movies, which I know are really stupid and really bad, but he was in Skyline, Beyond Skyline or whatever it was. So he's definitely clearly is crossing back over and crossing over into the Indonesian film market, into the American film market. So I would say just all the guys from the Raid films have kind of, I mean, they've changed, I really think, the way these martial arts films, just like, you know, the guys that were doing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, who kind of helped with, you know, things with the Matrix and things like that, all those kind of cable wire fighters and everything, they kind of changed the game a little bit. So you have to give a shout out to all the names that I won't say because I will probably badly mispronounce all their names, but all the guys that work within that Indonesian film, you know, fighting system and everything, you know, that do the, it's not Muay Thai or whatever, I forgot. It's, I don't know what the name of the martial art is, but all those guys. And then, of course, Keanu, got to include, you know, what would a decade be without Tom Cruise? Three Mission Impossible films in the decade. So, yeah, that going for him. But that would be who I'd be going for right there.
I guess if you're looking from the Fast and the Furious franchise, maybe you could throw in like a Vin Diesel or like a Michelle Rodriguez. She did the Machete movies too. Maybe they're not as great, but I mean, she had a presence in action films.
I would say Henry Cavill a little bit too. I think he kind of did some, I mean, he did a lot of stuff with, like, you know, the DC stuff, but, you know, he's always kind of dabbled in that action stuff, you know, everything from the, what was the mythological movie they did back in the day too. I forgot what that one was, but that was a weird one, but he's kind of dabbled in between Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Fallout. I would definitely say Henry Cavill would be in that list as well too.
Dan, you're going to say something?
Yeah. I would also include, I think, Scarlett Johansson. You'd have to with her roles in mm-hmm. Black Widow, as you know, in the adventure films. Also, she was in Lucy, which was a huge hit. I think a big reason why they greenlit a Black Widow film was because how big of a hit that was. I think, you know, Ghost in the Shell, even though I know that caused a lot of controversy, but I think she really established herself as a major star and major action star in large part because of the Marvel films, but not just because of that. I think she kind of showed she had her own clout and honestly been a little bit more successful than some of the other guys who haven't had that major hit outside of the Marvel movies there. So
what about Jason Statham? He's not good enough to be warranted in that discussion.
I feel like he kind of hit his peak with the Transporter films. And he hasn't really gotten back to that. It's fun when he shows up with the things, but I think he's more of an additional spice to compared to, his own thing anymore. Like, that's why you're going to put him in with The Rock rather than start a new franchise with Jason Statham.
Yeah. All right. So that's a good discussion of some of the best actors and actresses in the action genre, as well as hopefully some of the films that you either agree with or give you some ideas of things that you can view if you're an action film fan. Just closing thoughts real quick from each of you. Kind of how was the decade overall as an action genre decade? I mean, we talked about obviously a lot of franchises that kind of rose to the kind of the top, maybe with John Wick, Mad Max, Bond, Mission Impossible, Fast and Furious, et cetera, et cetera. So was it a decade just dominated by the franchise, or do you feel like there was enough of some of these other ones that we mentioned where it kind of found its own identity when it comes to action in the 80s, Dan? Or in the 2010s, not the 80s.
Can I say both? I think it's been able to be both.
Yeah.
Where, you've had a lot of, obviously, the franchises, and they've also been good. Like, that's, which is kind of the insane thing, because, there was a point I remember in the 90s where once you got to the third movie, you just knew it was going to be bad. But really with Fast and the Furious, it hit its peak at film five. And, with Mission Impossible 3 was good, but I thought the fourth film brought it to another level. And then it just kept going further and further, where I think that was one of the big difference with the 2010s, where franchises were getting better with each installment compared to, decades prior. But there were a lot of those smaller action films. Two, I think, Matt mentioned with The Raid, that really showed what you could do now with the technology that exists. And maybe, if you go to the right spots of the world where laws are a little loose, you can make some fantastic action films. So we had, and there's a lot of great, I probably should have dug deeper in some of the Korean and films that I did, but like I mentioned with 13 Assassins and things like that, there's always, great directors across the world giving us some great action movies.
Matt, do you think this decade will be so far at this point? I know, 20, 30 years from now, we'll look back and probably not think that, but do you think it's something that we've seen now that technology has allowed different types of action films to be made and, camera work has evolved to a point where we can just see stuff that wasn't possible 10, 20 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think the action films that were made back in the 80s and 90s, it felt a little bit more personal because everything was just so much more practical. It was like just big explosions, things, one thing that always kind of surprises me in films that I watch from the 2010s versus the 80s or 90s are these car chases. And the car chases are down these roads and they're going super fast and there's doubles standing in the road and they get out of the road, they get out of the way really quick. And it looks like they're about to be just myrtleized by a car. You don't see that anymore. I wish they would bring that back a little bit more. It seems like all the car chases are on empty streets, but that's just a minor gripe. But this is kind of the Dan's point about kind of the kind of international flair and the kind of globalization of action films. Because we know that, there have always been big action films in certain markets, in China and India and Indonesia now, of course, and Japan, Korea, Australia, wherever it might be, but we just never knew about it because we probably didn't have access to all the technology, all the kind of I don't want to say the internet had a lot to do with it too, but it definitely did, where now as Americans we get to see all these other movies from around the world, so it kind of makes everybody up their game. We're like, man, these guys are really bringing their A game in movies like The Raid or any other kind of Korean action film or all these Bollywood action films too, where the American audience is kind of a little bit, we can have whatever we want now. We can kind of see whatever we want. And that goes with comic book films, sci-fi films and everything too. So I think it was a great decade to be able to see so many different types of action films from different countries, which I think we never had that opportunity to really see unless you were getting a bootleg DVD from somebody back in like 97, 98. It was like, oh man, have you seen this? Tony Jaa, man, Tony Jaa's the man now. So it's kind of crazy how we've come to this conclusion where now we can, everybody has to up their game. Everybody has to make it bigger, ballsier, better, crazier, things like that. But you still have these little films that are quaint, that are done well, and can still satisfy all the audiences. So it's it was a fun decade if you kind of go back from 2010 to 2019. It's a good year or a good decade.
Absolutely. Matt, another chance here to pimp out your guys' stuff. Well, where can people listen to more of yourself and DJ and all the other things that you cook up along the way?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you can always just go over to simplistic.reviews. That's where all the good stuff is, right on the website. That's where the podcasts are. That's where all the reviews are. That's where all the little articles we put out. Everything right there on one, I would say, clean website. But, you know, sometimes it gets a little messy. But overall, it's pretty clean. We have another commentary dropping for our final commentary of 2020, I guess you can say. I won't give away what it is, but it has something to do with spies and people trying to bring Hitler back to life.
Ooh.
How about that? It was something else. that's all I'll say about that. But yeah, check out all the fun stuff over at simplistic.reviews. Yeah.
All right. Dan, do you have anything coming out that you'd like to share with the folks or anything that they can look forward towards here at the end of the year?
Yeah, so I should have my top 100 comic books of 2020 out within the beginning of December sometime. I'm still trying to catch up on a few books and things like that, but you should look for that at Geekcast Radio. And I would, speaking of simplistic reviews, I would highly recommend checking out their election episode. I thought that was hilarious and it's worth your time. So definitely take that a look. But on my end, yeah.
Nothing yet, Dan. Wait for just a second.
Yeah. Over the last like 4 or 5 years, I've done top 100s comic books. And so looking forward to getting down in the nitty gritty. It's been a little bit harder being 2020 and with the craziness of COVID and trying to get comics. But I think I finally got enough in order to put it out. So
I think that's a good list for two different reasons. Cause number one, if you're a comic book fan out there, it'll be fun to look through and kind of see what the best of the best was for the year. But I think it also serves as a good jumping off point for someone that might be, teetering back and forth on if they want to get into comics. It'll give you a lot of different stuff to bounce off of.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's a huge variety each year with comics is why I love them so much. So from, you know, like if you like the superheroes, that's really just a small portion of comics, really, you know, from, you know, like, for example, I just read a comic about the Kent State shootings protest that covered that and to graphic memoirs to a whole lot of different things. And I think why I like doing that list is kind of just shows you the variety that exists each year.
Absolutely. So I would definitely recommend keeping an eye out for that, or even going back and looking at some of the past year's list that he's put out. Definitely worth it. And we're going to have a couple more episodes for you for Cinema Geeks, hopefully summing up the decade that was 2010 to 2019. We've done all the different genre lists, so we're going to try to wrap it up in a couple different episodes that we'll bring to you guys. So keep an eye out for that. Matt, thank you very much for joining us again. You're like the ever trustworthy, reliant, guest host that we can bring on. I appreciate that.
Look, okay. I know you would say checks in the mail, and I believe you, but is the check in the mail?
It's not
we can talk off air. It's fine.
There's been some problems with the U.S. Postal Service this year.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
So, but anyways, that does it for this week. Tune in next time for another chance to listen to more Cinema Geek.